Good morning, everybody. Good morning on this Monday morning, April the 7th. Can you believe it? April the 7th. Boy, time is just flying. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Tonight is the last class of Bible college for this semester. It's hard to believe that it's already here. And then we will resume in August. And we will begin our logos class, logos and symbols. Now, I want to start off this morning and talk to you about that for a minute, because I have taught you guys over the years that whenever you watch somebody and whenever you're receiving from someone, like say they're teaching or whatever, or they're just giving a speech, like say the government, I've taught you guys to look at the surroundings, not just what they're saying, but what is the image that they are portraying. Their message that they're preaching is more than the words, okay? It is the entire picture structure of what you see as they're speaking. Think of it like this, because remember, my master's degree is corporate communication, so I'm trying to teach you. Where are they speaking this at? What is in the visuals? For instance, let's say you got a preacher or say somebody on YouTube, and you see them with an Israeli flag permanently in their background, and you see an American flag right next to it. Okay, now this is permanent. And then you see over their head on the wall a bunch of Hebrew writing. Okay, what does this tell you about this person? Some of you could say, well, you know, it doesn't mean anything. He just likes his Israeli shawl thing that he has. He just likes the American flag. And he just likes studying Hebrew words. So there's nothing wrong with this. Okay, what I'm trying to teach you is the bigger picture. All of these things having to do with logos and symbols are clues. They're all clues. It's not that the one thing says something specific about them. Like, say this particular person even has their logos in black and white. You know, over on their Facebook page, their logo is in black and white. And it's not that the logo being in black and white is telltelling that they're Masonic. Or that they're even in the Freedom Forest movement. Or the fact that they have a Israeli flag. Okay, well, then maybe they're Zionist, right? That's the first thing you think of. Oh, they must be Zionist. Because they're showing on their shows their support for Israel and their plight. You know, like whatever their agenda is in Israel. Okay, then when they have the American flag up there, but right beside it is a clue that maybe they're Zionist because they're showing their loyalty to the country, their partnership with Israel, which is what Zionism is, right? What else is Zionism? Zionism is taking everybody back to the Hebrew roots, correct? So you see the Hebrew over the flags. So why would this cause you to pause? Why should you, as a Christian, pay attention to the picture that's behind the person in their studio? Because it's telling you the root of the matter. The same with their logo. This same person has a logo that is Hebrew, that is a goat head. Okay, so people need, I don't know how to explain it anymore other than I have uploaded all of my Hebrew roots teachings up on YouTube. And I'm going to organize them and do them into a playlist and then do like a, you know, one day where they'll show one after another. Because if people do not get this simple foundation that I'm trying to teach them about the logos and symbols and how to pay attention to people you should believe or not, I don't know what else to tell them. You know, I've written books about it. I've done thousands of hours of shows about it. You know, my whole position is teaching against Hebrew roots. So this is why that logos class coming up in August is so important for you to understand what I had to learn in London. Basically is what I'm going to be teaching in that class, is what I learned in London when I went through the 3 weeks when I studied abroad in Europe. And they taught me how to see the big picture. So that's what I've been trying to teach you guys over the past 5 years. 5 years. Actually, I started in 2018. So that's 7 years that I've been teaching against Hebrew roots and trying to show you guys what NAR is partnering with. You know, even back then, when I started exposing NAR and I started exposing what Hebrew roots was, I got so persecuted, you just wouldn't believe it. You would not believe it. But now, 7 years later, they're pushing everybody straight into the beast. So, if you don't learn now and you don't listen to instructions, you're being willingly ignorant. That's what the Bible says. That's what Pastor preached on a couple of weeks ago. These are people that are willingly ignorant. They won't listen. They're stubborn and stiff-necked. So there's nothing you can do. You can bring a horse to the water, but you can't force them to drink, basically. But in my last plight of trying to help, I am going to show all of my Hebrew roots teachings again. With an example, I found the video that I did about what's her name? Celestial. And her connection to Black Hebrew Israelites and stuff like that. So I'm gonna get that back uploaded as well. So the point that I'm trying to say is people need to know the big picture when you're watching somewhere, when you are somewhere. Like, say you go to a church and you see them with an Israel flag up. That's up there for a reason. It's not up there just to be pretty. It's because of something they believe in. And they're letting it be made known in the atmosphere. Okay? So if you're watching somebody that's teaching and they have that in their background and they have an American flag, they're Zionist. So then you have to ask yourself, what is the point of view these people are coming from? It's a Zionist point of view. Do you want that going in your spirit? Is it tainting your spirit? You have to ask yourself, what do you believe? And are you going to stand on a sure foundation? Or are you going to be double-footed, 1 foot in and 1 foot out? You know, because the rubber has met the road here. They're getting to the point now they're going to be turning people in for anti-Semitism. For the ones who are not Zionist. See what I mean? So that's my encouragement on that this morning. So somebody, that boy, they got me going last night. They sent me something on this guy. And they said, I know you say he's Hebrew roots, but he is not Hebrew roots. And that's because the person that sent it is Hebrew roots. And so they're mad at my position on Hebrew roots. So, out of honor to this person, I go back and recheck all his stuff. I did a whole evaluation again. And now I'm even more convinced than I was before. Double the times. And I let that person know, I stand on my position. This person is Hebrew roots. I could do a whole show on all the things that I see. So I'm staying on my position, but you're going to believe what you're going to believe, and I'm going to believe what I'm going to believe, but don't send me any more Hebrew root stuff. And that's the way I feel about it, because people are at the point they're making their mind up. You can't tell them nothing. You try to, but they're going to do what they're going to do. But out of honor, I did go back and, you know, look at it with another eye, you know, but I saw now it's worse than before. So that's my stance on that. Okay, now let's move over to today's sermon. We're going to talk about angels today. Because, Bride, you need to know that you have more that is for you than is against you. Do you hear me? You have more that is for you than is against you. You know, angels, they have been used by God many times in the past. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we just thank you so much for your word this morning, Lord. And we just ask, Holy Spirit, that you anoint my tongue and you anoint this sermon today and encourage us today about the help that we have in this end time hour, Lord. We thank you so much, Lord, that your word is true. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so, but even in the days of old, you know, we saw many examples of angels, and especially with the children of Israel. You know, we're studying the tabernacle right now, and we see the angels a lot in the tabernacle. One of the examples that I just love, that I feel like God gave me a revelation of, was the Ark of the Covenant. Because the Ark talked about putting two angels, two cherubs, on top of the Ark and covered them, laced them in gold. And then they came alive and they touched each other. I thought that was the coolest thing. Because I believe that they were literally angels. And they met halfway across the Ark and they touched to show a unison, you know. But there's angels all through. I mean, even when you look at the children of Israel, you know, and how the angels were with them when they were walking through the desert. How the angels were with them when they crossed the water. You know, so let's look at some scriptures this morning about angels to encourage you guys to know that you are not alone. And that you really, and angels are real. Each of you have a scribe angel. They're watching everything you do. You have a guardian angel. Remember Brock said in his book, let me get his book, that he met his angel. Remember that? I haven't read it, I don't think. Let's see here. My guardian angel. Let's go to chapter 3. What page is that? 41. All right, let's read a little bit out of Brock's book. Here we go. Oh, yeah, the angel. I turned to the left and there he was. It's true. I have an angel sent by God to serve me. Oh, amazement all over again. I took in his tall posture. Okay, this is what I'm talking about. I guess I was believing Jesus' intentions towards me. He was consistently affirming his pleasure that I was there and demonstrated my much loving acceptance towards me. He was pushing out permission for me to explore. I was in full trust. So I decided to be a good son and act like myself. I could feel the joy from Jesus and the Spirit. Both were so one that I didn't know any difference at all. But as soon as I had that thought, Jesus was speaking out loud this time. Brock, the same Spirit that raised me from the dead hovered on the face of the deep and indwelled you since your birth is in you now. Anytime you hear me speaking inside you, I'm speaking through the same Spirit. He is in you and you in me. Think of it as a window in your soul and a window in mine. Ooh, oh, that is so cool. That is awesome. I speak to you from within me, and I can see and know all within you. See, that's what I think they're trying to do with the jab. That's what I think they're trying to do with the jab. Because the beast wants eyeballs. He wants to know. He wants to be Jesus. That's what Antichrist is. He wants to be Jesus Christ. He wants all eyes on you. That's why he wants cameras everywhere. And even in the new frontier inside you. Okay, back to the book. Back to the book. You as well. You have a window within you to speak to me anytime. You have access to all of me, all of my knowledge, power, presence, etc. You and I are one because of the spirit within both of us. Wow. I'm speaking to you outwardly now. Even this is by the spirit of my Father. He speaks out of me through the spirit. We are all three one. One window through each of us. You know, it makes you wonder why Microsoft called it Windows. Oh, got my mind wondering. Microsoft calling it Windows. A window into what? Piercing into what? Interesting. Okay, one window through each of us, all acting outwardly as one in different roles. This is simple. You must not let this seem difficult. You are one with me, and we have no distance between us. You are ever present with me here in heaven, and I am ever present with you. Ever present with you. I'm only as far as your call. I love you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. How could I forsake myself? Scripture was pouring in. 1 Corinthians 6:17. But he who is joined to the Lord becomes one spirit with him. 2 Timothy 2:12 to 13. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. John 17:20 through 23. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. That they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. 22. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. 23. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one. So that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Oh, I was changed all over again. Expressions multiplied. Oh, the bliss to be transformed by his words. His love, joy, and peace all in one flash. I continued crying. Aw. It made such perfect sense to me. I have just, in one conversation, had every question answered. I feel like I've ever had for the Lord. Oh, I'm just so weak before him. I wanted to just lay face down before him. Remember I told you about what that means, face down? But right then, I was turned by the Lord to see the angel. I think the Lord knew that I'd be standing right there at his feet for all of eternity asking question after question after question. Oh, I wanted to feast at the feet of Jesus. I had so much I wanted to learn. I have already learned so much and had so much understanding from him solidified that I felt like a whole new man. So I am turned and I take in this tall angel. He was something else. He had a look like the blonde guy that played in Hercules series when I was younger. That is funny. He was bold. checked and had what seemed to be a double chin. He had the look of one who has experienced more battles than any person in history. He seemed to be built to look ferocious. He was a weapon built for his job. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. He had a statue of a body. Oh, man. I saw him like an image of what I would like to be after much daydreaming of what possibilities were available to me if I worked out every day of my life. That is funny. I thought, oh my, dude, you look so cool. Ha ha, here I was back to myself. You have golden hair. I felt so comfortable with him. But I caught myself chuckling inside because I just spoke to a guy and praised the dude's hair. That is so funny. What in the world? Oh, I guess I was feeling so free here. His hair really was the coolest hair I've ever seen. I was conversing with him like I've known him my whole life. I just walked up to him and looked up high and just started talking about how cool his hair was. His hair was made of gold, not spray-painted gold, not covered with gold. His hair was gold. Wow. I said, your hair, it's so gold. It's so cool. It flows down like it's almost alive. He said the first thing to me, watch this. Watch what I can do with my hair. I was taken aback. He had such a strength to his voice. It was kind of scary. Not going to lie. Growing up by Fort Campbell, I worked with military. And in all my travels, I have talked to a lot of strong men. Tough men, killers, the most elite warriors on the earth, and powerful men. This guy would make the Delta Force units, the Navy SEALs, CIA, QRF, Spetsnaz, Polish Grom, Israeli, Saret, Metcalf, and the toughest of special ops on the earth think several times before they cross him. This is not a guy I would even want to play wrestle with. I wouldn't want him to accidentally drop his long-armed hands on me. Ouch. I was not only stunned by the strength of his voice, but the purity as well. It was like he has rarely talked in his life. He had such a purity to his voice. It was like conversation with me. Was the most amazing thing he's ever been told to do by the Lord in his whole created life. He had such purity like that of a being who had served for millennia and was only rarely ever said anything outside of what his service required. It was so ordained talk that his words were just pure. It was talk that registered to me as pure, rare, and holy words. Wow! So in other words, that angel knew that every word that proceeded out of his mouth. Amen. Here I am talking with him like a brother in the Lord after an amazing worship encounter at church. Remember in the Bible, like in the book of Revelation, where it talks about all them people bowing down to them angels wanting to worship them, remember? You see that through a lot of scriptures. It's because probably like the experience with Brock, when they saw him, they were in awe. You know, I felt like we were fresh out of God's presence at church, both glowing with the after effects of the Lord's presence and talking like brothers, just talking and being bros. This angel was excited to talk to me. That was fascinating to me. This angel is just as excited to talk to me as I am to him. How intriguing. I started to feel the knowings inside of me from the Lord again. I knew then that this angel has watched me my whole life. Wow. He's watched me, protected me, reported to me from the Lord, and observed for the last 33 years. He's now getting to talk to me for the first time face to face. I had some scripture flooding through me, Psalm 91:11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. Psalm 130:20. Bless the Lord, O you angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Exodus 23:20. Behold, I send an angel before you to guard you on the way and to bring you to the place that I have prepared. Daniel 6:22. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me. Oh, wow. This is just something beyond unbelievable. I am in heaven, meeting Jesus for the first time fully, and seeing two angels that seem to be tasked to watch over me, bring knowledge and document what I do, bring any instructions Jesus needs for me to do. I am just walking into heaven, and it's simply beyond my wildest dreams. This angel responds to me to watch what he can do with his hair, and I watch his long flowing golden hair move outward and quickly braid itself into some ancient warrior braid. That is funny. It reminded me of the old samurai warriors who would braid their hair before battle. When his hair came up and braided itself, I just looked up at him and said, wow, this is so awesome. Your hair goes up when you want it to. Whoa. He said, yeah, I can't do that on the earth. He chuckled, saying, I've noticed, but you can do anything here. All things are possible here. I just stood there speechless. As he stood there before me, I just stared speechless, and then I saw the glimmer of an object behind his arm. I noticed his sword. He was turned sideways after showing me his hair, and that's when I saw it. He had a long sword. Wait, no, he had two swords. I looked over, and sure enough, he had two swords. I said, whoa, your swords are the most stunning blades I've ever seen. But they're not at your waist. Every warrior I've seen on earth has their swords at their hips and across their backs. Your handles are underneath your arms. That's different. Wow. That's amazing, isn't it, y'all? His swords have a slight curve backwards. They came down from close to his armpit downward. I'd say 8 inches past his fingertips. This guy had long arms. He was like 14 to 15 foot tall and had arms taller than my body. I'm 5'8¾". And his sword was probably close to 7 feet long. It was from his armpit down past his hands. Around his elbow, you could see the blade curving backwards. It finished its curve at the bottom under his hands. On the front side of the sword, it had curves with sharp tips, like a jagged edge going up the blade. It was a two-edged sword, with both sides super sharp, it seemed. I could tell it was a supernatural sword. It was a golden metal of some kind that we do not have on earth, golden platinum. Put those two together and you may come closer. It's a lot like a sword you may find in a Marvel superhero movie. Some kind of weapon of the god kind. Oh, I would love to learn about their weapons. I reminded myself to ask the Lord later. I asked the angel, where is your sheath? How do you take them out? Where do you put them back in and how do they attach to you? Ain't that funny that he can remember that? He said, look closely and you will see. He held his arm forward to show me the full sword underneath. There was a glimmer of what looked like a sheath, but there wasn't one. I was like, so there's a sheath? It's invisible, he said. No, my swords are not dangerous or sharp while they're by my side. Once I pull them out to use them, they become extremely mighty in God to destroy. Anytime you need me, I use them like this. Wow. He stepped forward as if he was about to fight in some invisible enemy. Oh, wow. The ferociousness, tenacity that he moved with intent. It put the fear of God in me overwhelmingly like I've never felt before. I watched him reach with his right arm over to his left side and simultaneously reach to his right side with his left arm. He crossed, and the sword seemed to flow as one with him. They seemed to flex or move forward to make the grab flow seamlessly. He effortlessly became one with the blade. Think back. I thought he pulled the swords out of what we call on earth a sheath. This was not like that. These swords became one with his arms, and he just crossed his arms and took the sword. Took sword and sword. He had them moving in impressive swipes of his wrist. I shouted out loud without noticing it. They are alive, right? They have fire coming out of them or through them. You move so fast, I can't see. He slowed a little bit, and I could hear him from the weapons. I could hear a hum from the weapons. They seemed to buzz and had a light emanating from them. It reminded me of the stars I had saw in the eyes and from God's person on the throne. I said, wow, are they made of a star? What do you do when someone shoots bullets at you? My brain was just puzzled. I immediately thought of how silly that question was. He grinned and responded quickly, watch this. And he moved so fast and did a warrior's demonstration of spinning and swinging the swords with the grace of the most skilled dancers. A deadly fast warrior dancer. Oh, the speed. It reminded me of moves they showed elves in battle. They would move with such speed you would see a trail of light behind them. And they were the most graceful warriors in the different stories' kingdoms. This angel had the elves looking like kids' stories. It was beyond impressive. I knew I never had to worry about any demon, person, or beast ever. If this guy was with me, I was safe. Hebrews 1:7. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. Well, I probably won't read all this because it's got pages left, but that's pretty cool. At least we got a visual of what an angel looks like, huh? So let's just go through some scriptures about angels, all right? Okay, Psalms 91:11. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep you in all your ways. Now, you know there is story after stories about angels protecting people. And you know I've given you some, and I've told you how they've saved people from wrecks and things like that. Hebrews 13:2. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby you have entertained angels unaware. Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to them who shall be heirs of salvation? Psalms 103:20. Bless the Lord, you he angels, his angels, that excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Psalm 34:7. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Isaiah 6:2. Above it stood the seraphims. Each had six wings. With twain he covered his face. And with twain he covered his feet, which means two. And with two he did fly. Jude 1:6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Okay, let's talk about that a minute. There's only three more scriptures I have left. Sorry, my throat's real dry. demons are fallen angels. Demons are fallen angels. Okay. We all know that in Noah's day, it was the Nephilim, which were like the giants, really is just nothing but demons. These people, when they're calling all these people angels, giants in the earth today, they're all demons. So I just wanted you to know that. Okay, Revelation 19:10, and I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said to me, see that you don't do that. See, there's a scripture right there of them trying to worship angels right there. I am your fellow servant and of their brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. So worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Matthew 24:31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. So we know that angels are used by God to fulfill his purpose in the earth, right? Remember angels, you know, they'll open seals and do the trumpets and all that kind of stuff. Matthew 24. Well, here you go, 24:31. He shall send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Matthew 18:10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of the Father which is in heaven. So there you go, Bride. You know, y'all have heard my stories of angels and how they've been with me and they've called and sang to me and all kinds of stuff. So just know today that angels are with you and you are not alone. Okay, so let's all pray. Lord, we thank you so much today, Lord, for encouraging us that we are not alone, that we all have angels with us, Lord. We thank you, Lord, too, that your word says that they will help us, Lord, from stumbling. We thank you for sending us helpers, Lord, and we thank you for sending us warrior angels to fight for us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Remember the story I told you guys about that man that helped me when I first started in ministry and how the demons came to take him out and an angel appeared out of the sky with a big flaming sword and was fighting all them demons off that man. Remember that one? That's one story. And then remember the other one where the angel stopped that woman from popping me in the mouth. Remember that one? That's one. And then the story of when I broke down on the side of the highway and, God sent me help, which I know is angels. Their angels are real. And remember the dream I had that time about being in the desert and God sent me the army of horses and chariots. You know, that was letting us know that we have a whole host of angels that are with us. Okay. So that's my encouraging word to you today, to trust in the Lord and to know that you are not alone. Ha! No kidding, Kimberly. That is funny. All right. Well, I'm going to stop the recording and open up the prayer lines.